Amen. 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 Well, this is, of course, this is Valentine's Day. Did all you guys out there remember to get your Valentine something? Okay, so there's going to be like a rush to Stater Brothers after this to get some flowers. How many of y'all out there are married? Let me see. Let's see. How many of y'all out there are married? Wave your hands. All right. All right. How many of y'all out there engaged? Let's see some engaged people in the house. Do we have any engaged people? All right. Maybe he wishes he was engaged. All right, we got an engaged couple right here. Do we got a couple? One right over there. All right. How many single people in the house tonight? All right, let's just do this just for fun since this is Valentine's Day. Let me have all my single ladies. If you're not dating somebody, we will respect your boyfriends. If you are single and you are a lady, go ahead and stand to your feet tonight. All you single men, take a look around. All right, sit down. All right, let's get all our single guys real quick. All the single guys, if you're not dating somebody, come on, stand to your feet. Take a good look, ladies. Trey, my brother Trey. Trey! We'll be taking applications after the service. That's kind of funny. Got a couple more people I see right over here, single, but they did not stand up. And I'm tempted to call them out, and they're trying to hide right now. So I'll give them a break. But, brother, if you're going to get married, you're going to have to stand out. I'm just kidding. What I do want to do tonight, briefly, as I've already taken half the time that I had to preach with all of that, is, if you will, give you guys the sex talk. God's sex talk. I don't know about you, but, I remember I didn't really get the sex talk. I don't know if you got it or not. It was awkward for me, as I'm sure is maybe for everybody else. It was awkward for me because I was 17 years old when my mom decided to take me out for a drive to explain to me the birds and the bees. And I remember sitting in the back of my van pretending not to know anything that she had to tell me. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, Mom, I learned about all this in junior high. I'm sorry, but here's the reality, is that God is a good father. How many of you guys know that God is a good father? Amen. And God wants to make sure that each and every one of us are clear when it comes to this three-letter word called sex that the world has so much to say about. If you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn them to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be beginning reading in verse number 13. And I would just like to encourage you, this month we're going to be talking about love. There's a number of different kinds of love that the Bible talks about. Pastor Luke brought an amazing message last week. Anybody here last week? Amen. We talked about Eros, and we talked about, we talked about God's love and how we need to be grounded in God's love, and then our Eros love will come forth as it should. And we're going to be continuing that. And so I encourage you, if you didn't get last week's message, you can get it online. And then these upcoming weeks, we're going to be talking about relationships and some different things. Where did I tell you to go? Oh, yeah, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, let me find it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. And we're talking about God's sex talk. Chapter 1, verse number 13 says, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Simply put, God here is just simply saying, hey, get your mind on track. Get yourself ready mentally. Are you prepared for what God has planned for you? All right? And goes on here, verse number 14, he says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. Now, how many of you out there understand today that when you became a child of God, the goal now for your life is to be an obedient child of God? So you can either be an obedient child or you can be a disobedient child. But when you said yes to Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I want to give you all my heart, all my life, I want to be a child of yours, what you are ultimately saying is, God, I want to follow in your ways. I want to do things the way that you have asked me to do them. I want to do them according to your word. I find this to be true, that as I look throughout the word of God, that this Bible is not a book of suggestions. This Bible is a book full of God's commandments and full of God's ways and full of God's truth. And he's given them to us, not for us to just to kind of like weigh it out, see what we think, reason with it, I may have a different opinion. God's given it to us to follow. Are you guys out there? And so the Bible says here, hey, as obedient children, this is what God is looking for from you. And he gets a little bit more specific. He says, he does not want us to conform ourselves to the former lusts, as in our ignorance. How many of you also understand today that the life that you used to live before Jesus was the old life? And now that you're in Jesus, you're supposed to be living a new life. A life that is redeemed, a life that has a stark contrast between you and the world. Listen, when people look at the life that you live, the way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you conduct yourself, they ought to see a stark difference between the way that you live out your life and the way that the rest of the world lives out their life. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. And please forgive my voice because I have a little bit of a throat thing, but I believe you guys can get by it. But God is looking for you to live a different kind of life than everybody else. He specifically says here, I do not want you to conform yourself to the former lust, to living according to your fleshly fleshly cravings, according to, again, the reasonings of your mind, the opinions of others. I want you to live it now according to me. And we'll see this now in verse number 15. It says, don't conform yourself to former lusts as in your ignorance. He says, but as God who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All right, everybody do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor, kind of poke him in the side, kind of tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, in all your conduct, all your conduct, in all your conduct, be holy. In all your conduct, be holy. Verse number 16 now, it says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Simply put, God is simply saying, hey, I'm the new standard now. Hey, I'm the model. I'm the example. I'm the one that you are supposed to follow, that you are supposed to mold your life after. Hey, listen, you once were blind, but now because of me, you can see. You once were lost, but now because of me, you're found. Hey, you once were enslaved to sin, but now again, because of me, you're free. You once were in darkness, now you're in light. And so now that you're in the light, now you need to follow me instead of continuing to follow the things that you used to that got you into trouble. And so I bring up this portion of scripture to simply say to you that as we go throughout our points, I need you to understand that God has a completely different way of approaching this three-letter word called sex than the rest of the world. And we need to understand that. And listen, today, while God's way may be a little bit more difficult to live out, God's way will always be the better way. God's way will never leave you into cursing. God's way will only lead you into blessing and into life. I'm reminded of the verse that says in Romans, it says, hey, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hello, someone. And so we need to follow in his ways, and we need to understand these things. Now, today, basically, God's sex talk, I just want to take it. This is the direction I really want to go today. It's just simply this. It's to take a look and to make sure that you and I understand what we can do to live a sexually pure life. A sexually pure life. This is God's sex talk. This is what he's interested in. If you remember last week, Pastor Luke's point number two, he talked about how sexual purity must be of the utmost importance in your life and mine. And I find this to be true, that God takes sexual immorality, that is the opposite of sexual purity, very seriously. And so point number one is this: if I'm going to live a sexually pure life, number one, I'm going to have to keep sex where it belongs. Does anybody know where sex belongs? In marriage, very good, I'm glad to hear that. Three of you. If you brought your Bibles, in fact, let's not turn there. If you guys just pop it up on the overhead screen. Revelation chapter 21, let me just read to you verses 7 and 8 because I want you to see this. It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, watch what he says here, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see again, just as I said, God takes sexual immorality very seriously. Now let's define for a moment what sexual immorality is. Are you ready? What is sexual immorality? Sexual immorality is any sexual activity outside the boundaries God specifically gives to sex. I feel the need to make sure that everybody understands this because, you see, we have people out there who are messing around sexually, but because they're not having full-on intercourse, they think that they're okay with God. And the reality is you need to understand that all sexual activity outside of the limitations that God has given is not right in the sight of God. And to be quite frank about it, if we're going to talk about revelation here, well, basically what you're doing when you partake in these kinds of indulgements is you are playing with fire. We had a president not too long ago who was caught messing with his secretary in the Oval Office. I think you guys are old enough to remember a little bit about history. We don't need to go into the details. But to make a long story short, he was simply asked, did you have sexual relationships with this woman? And he said, no, I did not. So the investigation continued on. And what did they find? They found video. They found all kinds of stuff. He was found guilty. He was impeached from office. They asked him again, why did you say that you didn't have sexual relations with? Well, I didn't have sexual intercourse with her. That wasn't the question. The question was, did you have sexual relationships with this woman, period? Because he did. And so I bring that up to say to you today that any sexual activity outside of the boundaries, the parameters that God specifically gives to sex, is sexual immorality. And you need to understand the seriousness of it today. Hey, listen. Messing around with your boyfriend and your girlfriend, I don't know if I need to start talking about terms here. Listen, oral sex is not sexual purity before God. Okay, I'm going to move on. So what are the limitations that God has given to sex? All right, sub point here real quick. God limits sexual activity to the marriage bed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. The word fornicators is the same word that we find the word sexual immorality in Revelation. And it's just simply speaking of this, sexual activity among single people outside of the marriage covenant. God limits sexual activity to the marriage bed and to the marriage bed alone. He says adulterers, God will also judge. What is that? That's married people having sexual activity outside of their marriage partner. I really wish my voice was not this bad. God limits sexual activity to the marriage bed. God limits, this is subpoint number 2, God limits sexual activity to the marriage of a man and a woman. God limits sexual activity to the marriage of a man and a woman. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 through 11, we find this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, watch this, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Listen, God did not limit sexual activity to that of a marriage and a marriage only, but to that of a marriage and a marriage between a man and a woman. If you are having sexual activity, a man with a man, that's sexual immorality before God. A woman with a woman or any alteration of that, that is sexual immorality before God. You and I need to understand the God's limitations and what God has said is true and what God has said is right. Because listen, we got an entire world out there preaching an entirely different message in which they're saying, hey, it's okay to live like this. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. And as long as we allow that kind of indoctrination to come into our hearts and our minds and we do not understand God's truth, we'll be led astray along with them. So I need to understand what God has to say in his word. And this is what God has to say. And this is the standard that he has placed. Sexual activity is reserved for the marriage bed and the marriage bed alone and the marriage bed between a man and a woman, period. Amen. Amen, Pastor Joe. That's what the Bible says. If I'm going to live sexually pure, I'm going to have to uphold these limitations. Number 2, if I'm going to live sexually pure, I must stay away from sexually immoral people. How many of you understand that the people that you hang around will influence your life? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33, it says this, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. And when you and I are letting people who are sexually immoral into our inner circle, we are not doing ourselves a favor. We are setting ourselves up for failure. We are setting ourselves up to be led away again with the wicked. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I sat next to this young lady, beautiful young lady. And I remember we, over the course of the year, and this was in language arts class, we talked. And after about a month or two of getting to know this young lady, come to find out, she basically said, I'm dating this guy on the basketball team, make a long story short, and I've dated all of the starters on the basketball team. In fact, I've slept with all of the starters on the basketball team. And she wasn't ashamed to say this. So there in the class, I did the best job I could to share with her the truth of the gospel and to talk to her a little bit about the decisions that she was making and make her kind of step back and take a look. And I said to her, I said, are you really proud of the fact that you have slept with every starter on the basketball team? Is that something that you really want to be known for? And so I did the best job that I could at the time to share with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. When class was over, I went one direction and she went the other. I didn't get her phone number. I didn't call her. I didn't get her Facebook. I didn't get her Facebook information. I wasn't trying to hang out with her with no party. Listen, she's a sexually immoral person. And while you cannot get away from these people, you're going to find them at work. You're going to meet them at work. You're going to be around them at school. Hey, listen, you have family members and friends. You're going to be around them. But that does not mean that you have to let them into your inner circle and you have to chum it up with them and be buddy-buddy with them and be best friends with them and intermingle your life with theirs. Is anybody listening? Because see, here you are trying to live righteously for Jesus. You're trying to live a sexually pure life. I'm just going to give it to you today. You want to fulfill God's plan on your life. Yet you're hanging out with these knuckleheads who are living contrary, and they're not going to encourage you to follow in the ways of God. Excuse me. I'm preaching better than my voice is holding up. They're not going to encourage you to follow in the things of God. So we need to understand that we need to stay away from sexually immoral people. And God even goes a little bit further. I'm not going to read the verse. But to say, especially those who are in the church, who call themselves Christians, who are not living a sexually pure life, stay away from them especially. Why? Because they think that they're okay. They know the truth. They think that they're okay. They're deceived. And you got to be careful, extra careful. They'll be standing right next to you, raising their hands, bringing their Bible after church is over, going sleeping around, messing around. And you know what, guys? Listen, I'm not bringing this message to condemn anybody. Listen, today, if you have partaken in your amount of sexual immorality, all I'm simply trying to say to you today is, listen, the blood of Jesus will wash that clean. The blood of Jesus will make you new. The blood of Jesus will raise you up, put you on, turn your life around, put your feet on solid ground. God can still do wonders. God still has a plan for your life, and it's not too late to fulfill it. But I got to tell you the truth, and I got to help you fear the Lord so that you stop right now and you go ahead and lay hold of what God has for you. Can't afford to live that way anymore. I'm tired of people getting married and they slept with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people. I remember one time watching the newlywed show, and they're asking, you know, they send off the new spouse, and they ask the guys the questions, and this particular question to these guys was, do you know how many partners your wife had before she married you? The first guy was like, oh, I think 2, I think. The next guy, oh, I think 3, maybe 5. The next guy was like, I don't really know. So they brought the ladies out and they asked the ladies. Well, the first and second guy actually got it pretty close. The third, however, they asked the lady, how many partners did you have before you get married? I think 18. Ah, in the crowd. Ah, that's crazy. And you know what? It should not be named among Christian people. Okay, I'm moving right on. Stay away from these kind of people. If you're going to live a sexually pure life, you need to pick your friends, and you need to pick who you're going to allow into your inner circle, all right? Finally, number 3, guard your mind, and we're done. Guard your mind. If you're going to live a sexually pure life, you must guard your mind. You cannot afford to sit there and daydream for half an hour on trash. You got a steady cycle of perversion going around up there? It's not a hard principle to understand. You're going to have a steady cycle of perversion coming out in your life. That's why we make a big deal about the kinds of music that you listen to and the kinds of movies that you watch and the kind of people that you hang around, because, see, they're feeding your mind. And if they can get your mind on a cycle of wrong thinking, they're going to set you up for wrong living. You must guard your mind. You must guard your thoughts. And listen, when thoughts are coming your way and stuff is happening, you're going to have to say no, and you're going to have to fight that idea with another idea. And my suggestion is that you get God's idea from God's word, and you go ahead and boot the rest of those ideas right out of your mind so you can live the way that God would have you to. Guard your mind. This is what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, 5-7 says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This is why they live according to the flesh, because their mind is stuck there. But those who live according to the Spirit, that should be all of our desire, to live our life according to the Holy Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So I see a principle here that, you know what, if I can win the battle in my mind, I can win. If I can just simply win the battle in my mind and think the way God would have me to, I could win. And I'll close with this. Philippians 4, verse number 8 says this. See, God has a different way of doing things. Here's the way that he wants you to use your mind. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on them. Ponder them over. Mutter them with your mouth. If God's been good to you, it's time to take what God's been good to you and think it over, and think it over some more, and go ahead and open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. And listen, if there's something that is noble in your life, that's where you need to set your mind. If there are things that are pure in your life, and things that you have come in contact, things that you have found in the Word of God that are pure, you need to just put your mind there. Things that are lovely. Things that are of a good report. Can you think of a good report today? If there's anything virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. So that's God's sex talk. He wants you to live a sexually pure life, young adults. You're going to have to understand God's limitations on sex, number one. Understand and take a look at who you're hanging out with and who you've allowed into your inner circle. And finally, number three, what kind of thoughts and things you're allowing to roll over in your brain. Pretty simple, right? If you got something good from God's word, you can go ahead and give him a great big praise.